It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the short grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. As many of you know, I spent some time in St. Andrews, Scotland with my wife, Amy, and Coach Joe Foley of the Little Rock Trojans and his wife, Chris Foley. It was a trip of a lifetime, if you will, a bucket list item, no doubt. Getting to play the old course at the home of golf. Today, in this episode of From the Short Grass, I bring in my caddy from that round of golf at the old course, Scotty Ritchie. He also caddied for me on the Jubilee course, did a fantastic job. If you're ever over there, I think you need to look him up and try and get him as your caddy. He's a great caddy. But you will enjoy listening to him tell you about the history of the old course and what it's like to caddy at the old course in St. Andrews, Scotland. He's a Kiwi, though. He's from New Zealand, and you'll learn about how he got to St. Andrews and decided to stay there and start working as a caddy. That's coming up in a matter of minutes. I want to tell you about our friends at Blackman Auctions. Since 1938, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Go online, blackmanauctions.com, find one of their upcoming auctions, and if you're interested, go. That's all you have to do. Go check out one of their auctions. You might just be hooked on attending their auctions, and you might find something you never knew you needed. Blackman Auctions. Since 1938, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. We're back with Scotty Ritchie after this. Stay with us.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the fans stay. Staybridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world. And to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens. Member NYSE SIPC.
This is Thomas Blackman of Blackman Auctions. When you call Blackman Auctions to sell your assets, you begin a multi-point plan to get the highest value possible. Each auction takes 30 to 45 days of planning and strategic marketing for your real estate, your equipment, and your assets. You've worked hard for your property, and it deserves more than a sign in the yard or a post on the internet. Sometimes marketing is more than just a commercial with a great-sounding spokesman. Call me. Let me come up with a plan to tell your story and turn your assets into money. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Scotty Ritchie is a caddy at the home of golf, the Old Course in St. Andrews, Scotland. He's been a professional caddy in his life as well, but he spends the summer months in St. Andrews, Scotland, caddying at the home of golf. We sat down right after I finished playing the Old Course back in late June. On the tee, Scotty Ritchie.
Scotty Ritchie, a caddy here at the home of golf. Thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. When did you first pick up a golf club?
Oh, good question. Probably when I was about 4 or 5 years old back in New Zealand. My dad would have introduced me to the game. And like any Kiwi, just took to sport, loved it, loved what it gave you as an individual. And also as a team sport back in those days. But yeah, so I've been playing geez, if I'm at my age now, 55, so a good 50 years.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
wow,
I love
that
it.
Long. When you grew up in New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
what types of golf courses did you play over there?
Yeah, predominantly we're Parkland golf courses, Poena Greens. I know we spoke about that today, so a lot of those. Drop and stop courses, no links courses really. Well, we've got one Parapuram, which is rated in the top 100 in the world, which is probably our premier golf course. Few others, but we're predominantly tree-lined Parkland golf courses. So we're used to playing that, although I've been over here 12 years now, so I'm slowly getting used to playing links golf.
12 years here in St. Andrews.
Yes.
What brought you here to Scotland?
Great question. So I came over here in 2000, travelled around the UK, was specifically the reason to come to St. Andrews to watch the Open, which is the one that Tiger won. Came here, spent all week here, and said to myself, I need to live here one day, if only for a month. 2011, had the chance to come over. I'd already been caddying about 11 years, 12 years actually. And I thought, I'll come over for a month, spend a month in St. Andrews, play a little bit of golf. I stayed for 6 months instead of one, and then came back every summer after that. Went back to New Zealand, kept caddying there on tour, come back here. So I've been caddying in St. Andrews area since 2011. Absolutely love it. And haven't had a bad summer, I can tell you that now. Yeah.
It is a fantastic, fantastic piece of land.
Isn't it?
That has just an unbelievable golf course on it. And this is your office.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one. Yeah, as you saw today, and coming down, as your experience coming down 18 today with the sun at our back, you know, with the undulations you can finally see in the fairways, the chance to drive the 18th green, the chance to hit it over the building on 17. It's like, there's nothing else like it. You know, it's a, I say it to everyone that we play golf with or caddy for. It's just like, when you come to this golf course, it makes you feel different because of everything that's happened here before. Walking over the Swilcombe Bridge, you know, we talked about the 17th, how it's defined tournaments, made careers, done so many historic things in the game. And it's just like we, as normal individuals and golfers, get to actually experience that same thing, which I think is amazing, you know.
When you look at the history that is here, and you're a guy that explains that history to the players that you caddy for.
Yeah, 100%. This, as a caddy around here, you're a tour guide as well. A customer service agent for sure, trying to enhance the experience. There's so much that's happened on this piece of land over 600 years that you probably couldn't explain it enough, right? But the history here is what defines it probably more than anything else and creates it, the mystique of it for sure. And then so being able to impart that knowledge and that experience and to other people when they play, involves them in the golf course a bit more rather than just playing golf, and they start to understand exactly why it's so important for the game and for us as golfers, you know.
Today it seemed like that the weather could have turned. It was raining a little bit at times earlier in the day, but turned out to be a beautiful day. What is the best weather you've ever seen on this golf course, and then what is the worst weather that you've ever had to caddy in?
Remember last year, it was a Monday, I think, early in May, absolutely hosed down the whole day. Wet weather gear wouldn't have been important. You know, as soon as you got off the first tee, you were wet. So we did 36 holes that day, and that was just because you don't, if you come over here as a golfer, you're not going to not play just because of the weather. What was the best day? We get a lot of really good days here with lovely sunny days because we get long days as well. So, you know, the sun's up at about 4:30 and it goes down to about 10:30 and the evenings are lovely and the wind dies down. And even you saw today there was a rainbow, you know, coming down the last. It was lost. Everything that's magical about this place happens in front of you. But you get a lot of days here that are calm. I know Scotland's thought of as having bad weather, wet and windy, but around here, we actually have lots of really lovely calm days when the sun's out. And it actually, you know, it makes links golf a little bit easier for sure, but as a result, more enjoyable, you know. So, yeah, I like the weather here is really good.
Being a caddy, I'm sure you obviously you see all types of golfers and all types of golf swings. And mm-hmm. what are some of the funny quirks that you have witnessed being here at the old course from some of your players that you have caddied for?
Oh, without chucking people under the bus? I don't know.
We don't have to name names.
No, that's right. I don't know. It's a whole mélange, as they say in France, it's a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. The only answer I'd have to that question is golf is many different things to many different people, right? But they're all here for the same reason. They love the game. And we as caddies never judge that golfer for that. We understand why they're here. And so, sure, there are some golf swings that maybe shouldn't be on the golf course, but they are here. And sure, they don't hit great shots, but hey, golf is hard, isn't it? And we all know that. It's one of the hardest sports around. But like I say, everyone, even though golf is many different things to many different people, some people want to have fun, some people want to score, some people, you know, don't even care about finishing out the hole. They just want the experience of walking the old golf course. So, but in the end, they're all here for the same reason. They love the game. And that's the one continuing theme that runs through everyone that walks, you know, on this golf course.
You get to play quite a bit, even being a caddy, correct?
Yeah, I do. I play a lot. Maybe not so much at the height of the season, but I'm fortunate that I've played the old course here close to 400 times. In my tenure here, so
wow, 400 times,
pretty close. I keep my stats because I love this golf course so much, so I know how many times I've played here. And to be fair, COVID was good for us. There was no one that visited. We had the whole golf course to ourselves. We could pretty much walk on, so we did a lot of golf then. But I have been here since 2011, and I'm a resident here, so I managed to play. You don't get rights on the golf course, so to speak, but we have to ballot like everyone else. But because I live here, I've had the chance to play it more often than most people would. So I've actually seen a lot of this golf. But saying that, every time you go out, you know, you've got a tee time maybe two days out because it's the ballot, and then you're still nervous. Even though you know you've played so many times. We had that experience last Thursday with a group of guys. It was just like, it was a beautiful morning. You just want to hit a great tee shot off the first. Mm-hmm. You just want to get over the burn on the first. Then you want to get your round going. Then you want to be able to get to 17 playing well, so you hit a good line off that tee. And then you want to get on to 18 and just absolutely rope a drive down the middle, give yourself a chance to get close to the green, maybe make birdie, which is what the 18th, I think I said that to you, the 18th gives you that special experience where anyone can birdie that hole. And for that, one of the reasons, it's one of the greatest holes in golf, because regardless of your ability, it gives you the opportunity to finish in style in front of many people, which is a thrill to most.
People in Arkansas love John Daly. Mm-hmm. Golfers mm-hmm. in Arkansas love John Daly.
Open champions.
This is where he won mm-hmm. his Open Championship, mm-hmm. his second major. Had to do it in a playoff, mm-hmm. but he still won it. Mm-hmm. How impressive was that to see what John Daly was able to do to this place?
Yeah, very good, right? So a lot of people probably would think that he wasn't suited for this golf course, I guess, but it probably speaks volumes about actually his ability and the type of golfer he was. You have to be very adaptable for Lynx golf. And notwithstanding the fact, he had to now survive a playoff against a guy who holed a monster putt from the Valley of Sin, Constantino Rocca. And in fact, I caddied for an Italian boy yesterday, and of course, they're walking up there. That's all they can speak of is Constantino Rocca, the memory that's created, the history that John Daly created by winning this tournament as well. And he was a well-deserving winner as well. He was the champion golfer of that year. And of course, people embrace that here too. They loved him for it. We watched him here last year. He played four holes, I think, in the tournament, the little four-hole tournament mm-hmm. they had before. And then, and you could see when he was walking around here that all the pros just absolutely love him. And he was having a great time. But, yeah, what a great man to win this tournament because of his adaptability. And, I mean, people engage with someone like that as well, I believe.
Scotty, there were times today out on the course where you would turn to me and say, television doesn't do it justice, does it?
No.
And it actually doesn't.
No,
it
doesn't.
It's kind of like Augusta National,
mm-hmm.
the Masters,
mm-hmm.
where television does not do that place justice. Mm-hmm. And people need to come over here to see it.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. They, you know, the good thing about here is it's closed on a Sunday too. That's the other thing that people don't realize. And so you can get here on a Sunday and walk the course and embrace it and take it all in. Have that moment in time where you actually just be on the golf course when you don't have to play, which is actually a bonus for a lot of people that, you know, if they could do that more often, I think they'd appreciate the course more. But yeah, what you don't really see, I think Augusta's a great example, right? A lot of people don't realize how hilly that is, right? I haven't been there, but I've had plenty of friends who have been there, and they say you just have no idea.
Right.
And it's the same here. There's certain golf holes, there's certain entrances to greens where, geez, there's a 12-foot, 15-foot elevation change, and you go, well, I never knew this was here, and I've been watching this golf tournament for 30 years. So you do have to experience that, the number of blind tee shots you have, the loop, where you go around. It's just like if you were in some of these holes, you probably would be aiming in totally the wrong direction. In a lot of ways, it doesn't make sense, but it actually makes sense as you play it and afterwards when you think about it. It's why it's one of the greatest golf courses in the world.
And there are hole locations on this course that just seem impossible to get to.
Yes.
But then there are some that seem very receptive,
mm-hmm.
but you better put it there, because if you don't,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be able to get up and down.
Yeah, it's an interesting course in that respect, because the pin position, it's a second shot golf course for sure. Although saying that, if you're out of position, even on the big fairways here, you limit your opportunity to make birdies. We always put people down the left here, but the ideal play on the old course is slight centre or slightly right of centre, because that gives the best angle to most of the greens for scoring. As a good player, for instance, you could have 18 greens, play well all day, end up with 30 to 40 footers all day and just two-putt everything. It's very easy, and you go, how's that even possible? Because the links plays different. The run-outs, you know, the ball could run out 30 or 40 yards. It's not stop-and-drop golf. It requires imagination and a little bit of luck, which has to be on your side that day. So it's a whole mixture of things that come together to allow you to score well. But certainly if the pins are in difficult positions, it's pretty tough.
Have you ever thought about caddying anywhere else?
No. I'm fortunate to caddy back in New Zealand, mainly with the pros back there, which I've been doing since 2002. In fact, my first ever gig was, if I could put a shout out for him, for young Charles Warren III. He was on the Nike tour then. So thanks to him, I started my career. They visited New Zealand for 3 or 4 years. I caddied at Kings Barnes,
mm-hmm.
which I thoroughly enjoyed, and the views there are phenomenal, and it's a wonderful, wonderful golf course. But I've moved down here and love it, and the mixture of golf courses here too are great. You've got the Jubilee, the new, the old, of course, the Castle, and a couple of others, the Eden and the Strathtyrum, which a lot of people don't play, but they're good. As a caddy, it's a different experience, because it's as much about the history as about anything else, as opposed to maybe caddying at a members golf course where you're caddying the same golf course over and over for players who know it and understand it. It sits differently in the history of golf, so it's an absolute pleasure to be able to caddy here. It's every day is different. Every time you go out and see the golf course, it's different, which is down to sometimes the players we have, obviously, because we see different parts of the golf course sometimes. It's not a straightforward golf course. But, yeah, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, certainly not for the summer months in Scotland.
What would you say to someone in the States that might be thinking about making a trip over here?
Mm-hmm.
Why should they come to St. Andrews?
I think as soon as they get here and they see that, they walk on and they see the first tee and the 18th green in this wide expanse of fairway, they will understand why they're here. Because this is the reason that golf exists, pretty much. It's the number one course that everyone knows. Certainly there are maybe prettier ones and harder ones, etc. But this is where it all began. So from a historical perspective, you have to come here to experience. It's an experience rather than just a golf course. It's one of the reasons that the likes of Nicklaus and Woods and Palmer and famous Bobby Jones all said it's their favourite golf course in the world, because it makes you feel different than other golf courses. And it does. It just, it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
For you, growing up around the game of golf, who were some of the players that you watched growing up? I guess being from New Zealand, right across the the water there in Australia, Greg Norman.
Yeah, he was influential. I would say growing up, Bob Charles was probably the top guy out of New Zealand. He won a British Open at Royal Lytham in St Annes. I think as a young fella growing up, you know, Seve Ballesteros was probably my idol, probably for a lot of people too. You know, at his prime, he was amazing. Didn't see a lot of American golf really back in New Zealand, so we were privy only to really European stuff. And I started sort of getting interested when he started having an influence in the Ryder Cup. So that was, you know, you could see, you know, his charisma, the way he was. So I tended to go more that way. Seve was definitely my idol growing up. Not that I ever got to play like him, but because I'm definitely not that way. But he probably inspired me most of all.
When Tiger Woods came along, did you see the boom in the sport?
I'd hesitate to think that no one saw it, but you know, everyone would have seen it. You know, he was amazing, wasn't he? And how he's changed the game. I've been fortunate to caddy in a few tournaments where he's been in playing, and the atmosphere and the feeling around that when he's around is different to any other tournament. I'm sure most people, you know, he makes tournaments better because he's, you know, he's the GOAT, as they say, isn't he? He's just, you know, it's what he's done for golf. It's what he, and I'm sure a lot of golfers think that as well, because, you know, they've been able to have great careers because of what he's done to the game.
Seeing him walk across the Swilken Bridge last year could be for his final time in an Open Championship here at the home of golf.
Yep.
What did that mean to you?
Well, it was pretty emotional on his point, wasn't it? You know, and it was interesting with that, was it Rory was going down the first as he was coming up? Not really a passing of the candle, but I don't know. I'd like to see him back here once more. You know, I think he deserves a swan song here. It's his favourite golf course as well. He likes to say that. I think he's saving himself for one more here, although I think it's not till 2030, so it's a little bit away.
He might be able to make it.
Yeah, yeah, if he doesn't play too much. I mean, would he be in his 50s then, I guess, 51, 52? He'll still be able to play. He'll be good enough, you know. It was great to see him here. It would have been a shame if he didn't come for the 150th. It wouldn't have been the same tournament without him, and that speaks volumes of the sort of golfer that he is.
What's it like when they start putting the grandstands up here around the first tee box, fairway, and the 18th hole?
Fantastic. In fact, people get to play it as well while it's going up. And so you get that sense, and so do we too. It's wonderful. The billboards are there. The stands are up. It's amazing. It's you know, you're not going to experience it now for another 6 years, but, yeah, it's wonderful. It's a different-looking golf course too when it's up there.
The worst wind you've ever seen out here, what was it? How hard was it blowing?
40, 50, you know, like a, I don't know, a 5 or 6 or 7 club wind. You know, you're hitting 3 iron from 120 and keeping it down.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get it on the ground as quick as possible. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, it can get windy here for sure. But, you know, at the same time, it doesn't get really, really bad. But really bad can be bad.
Scotty, best golf course you've ever played, and it can't be St. Andrews because you get to see it all the time, and I know that would be number one.
Oh, God. I've got to do a shout-out to Nairn, which is North Scotland. I think it's a wonderful links golf course. It's fantastic. I played for the first time last year. Just every hole was wonderful. I stepped onto that golf course and thought, this is one of the best golf courses I've ever been on. There's a golf course in New Zealand called Kinloch. It's a Jack Nicklaus-designed signature golf course. Not many people know about it. Absolutely wonderful. I know my home golf course in Christchurch, Coringa's pretty good. Played Spyglass.
Yeah.
I thought Spyglass was wonderful.
Good. Yeah, that's great.
I haven't probably played it enough around the world. I would, yeah. It's really, you know, when I think about it, I'm always drawn to this golf course. Because it's the way it makes you feel, the differences you see in it every time you're playing it. I think, judging by my question, I've got to get out there and play some more golf, I reckon.
Yeah.
That's what
no
I reckon.
Doubt. I
yeah.
think you should.
I've got to do some more myself.
Last question for you. Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others that you could play a round of golf with, who would they be?
That's easy. Seve, Jack and Tiger. Absolutely, 100%. You know, I think they are the three greatest that I'd look up to. You know, I personally think, you know, I know, is Jack better than Tiger? I don't know, but I'd love to see them both. You know, imagine if they were both at their prime. And then just Seve to get in there and his swashbuckling self. And I'll be the 180 straighty down the middle and put it on the green and two-putt and just watch these boys. And I think that'll be wonderful, yeah.
I said last question, best score you've ever shot out here?
65, yeah.
You're a stick.
Yeah, I do okay. Like I say, I'm 180 straighty, so I never get into trouble. And, you know, if I putt okay, I'm pretty good. Lynx golf suits me.
Thanks so much, Scotty, and thanks for the loop.
100%, yeah, I loved it. Cheers.
With all the decisions you need to make about what to do in El Dorado, finding a place to stay is an easy one. The Haywood is uniquely positioned to make your stay one to treasure. Located in the historic Union Square district of El Dorado, the Haywood offers luxurious accommodations that feature contemporary, colorful rooms with high-quality bedding, comfortable baths with walk-in showers, and a spacious workspace with stylish plantation shutters that are unique additions to the stunning decor in a non-smoking environment. Make the Haywood your home away from home the next time you visit El Dorado.
This is Thomas Blackman with Blackman Auctions. The economy is changing slowly but surely. The market is slowing down in a gradual slide. Not an emergency yet, the sky is not falling, but a change is coming. When times are good, auctions make buyers compete to buy at the highest market value. When the economy gets tough, auctions force buyers to make a purchase decision. Either way, auctions get the highest return for a seller and a strong deal for a buyer. With an experienced auction company, it's a simple process. Go to BlackmanAuctions.com for more information. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shoregrass. I am Trey Schapp. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Groups, one of our great sponsors of From the Shoregrass, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen. They know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, you need to make sure you go to their website, bphotels.com, find one of the properties they manage, and book your stay. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, a great sponsor of From the Shoregrass. It's time for a quick rules segment. On the tee, PGA Master Professional Adam Carney.
Adam, this question comes in from Brian in Searcy. He says, I was watching the Players' Championship several weeks ago and thought of a situation that might or could happen, especially on the 17th green. I hit my ball onto the 17th green, mark it, toss it to my caddy to clean. My caddy misses the ball and it goes into the water. I am unable to retrieve the ball. So what is the ruling in stroke play and in match play? And he also asked, would it be any different if it's the caddy throwing the ball back to me and it is lost in the water?
This is actually not a hypothetical. It's actually happened on 17 at Sawgrass multiple times. The short answer is once that ball is lifted, it's out of play. But it's, you know, replacing that ball is required. You have to replace that exact ball. That is not a situation where the rules allow you to substitute a ball. And that's what we're talking about, is substituting a ball. There are instances when you can substitute a ball. For example, if you hit a ball on 17 from the teeing ground into that penalty area, that's water, you don't have to go retrieve that ball. You can substitute a ball at the drop area. So that would be an instance where you could substitute a ball. This is an instance where you cannot substitute a ball. So, frankly, I have seen the water's not that deep. It's only, on me, it might be, you know, chest deep. On Joe Klein, it might be waist deep or just over his kneecaps. Yeah. I don't know. Stroke play is the general penalty for substituting ball, which is two strokes now, is the general penalty. Match play would be loss of hole. With regard to the caddy would not change the situation whatsoever. You know, the ball would, if he tossed it to the player and the player missed it and it went into that penalty area, same situation.
Thanks for that question, Brian. If you have a question on the rules of golf, send us an email from theshortgrass@gmail.com and we'll get Adam to answer it. As always, thanks for listening. I want to thank Scotty Ritchie for caddying for me over at the Old Course and taking some time out of his schedule and sitting down and talking with me. I hope you enjoyed that interview with him and the others from Scotland as well. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, make sure you fix it and remember to stay hydrated out here in this heat. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shoregrass.
You've been listening to From the Shoregrass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.